Voting takes place June 22nd through the 25th for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a registered voter for the 2019 LCMS presidential election, please vote to re-elect Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and your congregation's lay voter to vote for President Harrison. Official ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. Remember to vote June 22nd through the 25th.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and...
We usually think of Jesus, when you picture Jesus preaching, where do you picture him? You picture him by the Sea of Galilee or on a mountain or in the streets or perhaps occasionally out there in the temple courts, but Jesus begins his preaching ministry very early on in the Gospels in the synagogue. It would be, I guess, the best parallel for us today in church. Not on Sunday morning, but on the Sabbath. What did that mean that Jesus would preach in the Sabbath? And not only that, but he would begin at his hometown of Nazareth. And then, lo and behold, he is rejected by his own people, the people with whom he grew up and knew him from the time when he was little, even to the point where they're ready to, in one account, stone him. What happened there? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus being rejected at Nazareth from Luke chapter 4. Joining us, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
And thank you.
We usually picture Jesus as a street preacher, in essence, but what does it mean that he is preaching in the synagogue?
Jesus was born under the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, which he followed. Remember, they took him to the temple to be circumcised, etc., etc. So until the time came when he would fulfill all of those laws, he kept them. And one of them was to worship on the Sabbath, which was the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Now, a lot of people wonder, well, there's a commandment, thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And how come we Lutherans and other Christians worship instead on Sunday? Probably the best explanation that can be found about that was actually written by Martin Luther in his large catechism, where he makes it very clear that in the Old Testament, to the Jews, God had a certain set of ceremonial laws that they were to follow of outward obedience. And one of them was that they should stop toilsome work and rest instead on the Sabbath. In the literal sense, this commandment was meant for the Jewish people at that time. It did not apply to other nations and does not apply to Christians today. It is an outward matter, like the other ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, which we no longer follow. In other words, in the Old Testament, for the Jews, God had set up various ceremonial laws to help them understand their need for a Savior. The Apostle Paul really helps us understand the importance of that when he writes in Colossians 2:16, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." And so that's where we learn that, yes, we're still bound to the moral laws that God gave in the Old Testament, but we are no longer under the ceremonial or the civil laws of the Old Testament. And it was quite common, if you take a look at the verse prior to our text, it says, "And Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." Now, how did that happen? Because that couldn't happen in our church, that somebody from the outside would just walk up into the pulpit. But in those days, rabbis, and Jesus was considered to be a rabbi, had the right to go into the area where he would preach. He actually was on a level higher than the people. The people were sitting, listening to him, and he would extemporaneously preach on a portion of the scripture. Now, in those days, they did not have the scriptures in their hands because they were written on scrolls that were expensive and heavy. And it wasn't until almost the 3rd century that they started writing on papyrus, which made it easier, but still was very expensive. And not until the printing press came about in Luther's day did they have the ability to make books of the Bible. So Jesus extemporaneously takes from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, that was the one given to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found this place. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What does he mean by that? What he's saying is this prophecy that was talking about the coming of the Messiah is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's the anointed one. And that anointed one is talked throughout the Old Testament. In case people are unaware of it, the word Messiah is the Hebrew for the word Christ, which is the Greek. And when he talks about this acceptable year of the Lord, this was referred to as the year of Jubilee. In the Old Testament, that occurred once every 50 years when the Jewish people would celebrate the year of Jubilee. And if you want to look at the details, you would turn to Leviticus chapter 25. During this year, debt was forgiven, prisoners were set free, land that had been repossessed was returned to its original owner. In fact, in Leviticus 25, verse 10, it reads, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." Now, the Concordia Publishing House material does a really good job in sharing that that jubilee year is precisely what Jesus is bringing. He's bringing the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And if that is not something to have jubilation over, then what is? And that's why he says he's bringing good news to the poor. Now, he's not referring to those who are in poverty. He's referring to those who are poor in spirit, like the Beatitude says, namely, I don't have anything to offer God to offset my sins. So the good news is that by being forgiven, I am not held accountable for my sins. Now, how can that occur? Because Jesus was held accountable on the cross by God the Father, and he paid the punishment I deserved. He also says, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, who was I a captive of? None other than the devil himself. And recovering of sight to the blind. The best way to understand that is go to John chapter 9, where Jesus heals a man who was born blind. But then the Pharisees are really angry because Jesus did it on the Sabbath day. And at the end of that, John chapter 9, Jesus looks at them and says, because you say you can see and yet do not worship me, you really are blind. And so recovering of sight to the blind simply means that the fulfillment of David's prayer in Psalm 51, creating me a clean heart, is fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And finally, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And who is not oppressed by the devil? This coming Sunday, or I'm sorry, it was yesterday, we had the sermon of the demoniac, and all the demons went into the pigs. And it was really interesting the way that ended. The healed man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus says, no, go back to your neighborhood and your family and tell them what God has done for you. And the last verse says, and he went back and told them what Jesus had done for him. Once more, from the Bible's point of view, no distinction between God and the man, Jesus. So that's kind of the background of what these people were hearing at Nazareth.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. On the other side of the break, the people ask a question after having heard him and marveled at his gracious words. They ask the question, is not this Joseph's son? What are they asking?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.com. .edu/Calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
If you're visiting Frankenmuth, Michigan, come to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in nearby Frankentrost. A hardy band of German missionaries founded Emmanuel Frankentrost in the wilderness near Saginaw. At Emmanuel, you can still hear the law and gospel in a beautiful liturgical service, just like those first settlers. For directions and divine service times, visit frankentrost.org. That's FrankenTrost.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
From fast facts to FAQs, overtures to offerings, get the inside scoop on the upcoming National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Special pre-election coverage includes biographies, personal statements, and interviews introducing readers to each of the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Voting takes place June 22nd through the 25th for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a registered voter for the 2019 LCMS presidential election, please vote to re-elect Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and your congregation's lay voter to vote for President Harrison. Official ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. Remember to vote June 22nd through the 25th.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus being rejected at Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, is our guest. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's aptly named. Here's just a brief excerpt from the book. It says here, "We know God through His reliable word alone, and we know that the center of this relationship is His grace alone. We know that the Father has chosen to adopt us, and without us deserving any of it, the Son has paid our entire debt of sin, becoming that sin itself through His death on the cross by His incarnation. He came to live with us forever. We believe that that almost unbelievable mercy through the Holy Spirit who reassures us that these promises are true." And finally, it says, "All this is God's action, not our imagination. We know how this relationship is going because He has made Himself known to us." Just a little taste of the Issues Etc. book of the month for June, Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Grace, Faith, Scripture, the Issues Etc. book of the month for June. Pastor Baker, we presume after Jesus has exposited this verse a little bit more, the people are amazed at His gracious words, but they ask this question, is this not Joseph's son? What are they getting at?
Well, you can imagine, Todd, if you had gone to your church and been doing a sermon, preached from Isaiah 61 and said, "Today I am the person fulfilling this." Immediately they would say, wait a minute, don't we know his parents? You know, how can this be the Messiah? How can this be God? And I'm sure that was part of the question some of them were asking. Remember, there were doubting Pharisees among them, obviously, and they were saying, how can this be the Messiah? And Jesus understands what they're really getting at. They're not so much interested, the majority of people. They've heard about his healing in Capernaum, and they want him to do that also in his own hometown. And so he talks about two individuals that were healed by God in the Old Testament. Both of them were Gentiles. The one was the woman of Zarephath. Remember, her oil and the flour never was minimized during the time of the famine. And also her son died, and Elijah raised him from the dead. She was a Gentile. And then a warrior against Israel, Naaman, was a leper. And he went to Elisha, and he was healed of his leprosy. And so what Jesus is making the point, you know, you got to remember what was said in the temple when I went in there very young. And Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. He was very happy because he had seen the Lord. But then he says, you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And that was Simeon's prayer at that time about Jesus, that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles. So once more, he's preaching that this year of liberty, this freedom from sin, is going to be also for Gentiles. Well, this really angers the people. And what they did, it says, all were filled with wrath. That's verse 28. Whereas when you go back to verse 22, when he was talking about the year of Jubilee, all spoke well of him. Maybe they had the impression that the feeding of the 5,000 had. He was really going to come and be a temporal king, give us the food we want, get rid of the Romans, etc. And so it was quite a shock to a lot of people to learn when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So they were so angry at Jesus, they rose up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they could throw him down the cliff. But he's God. It was not his time. Passing through their midst, he went away. And guess where he went? He went to Capernaum. And there he healed a man with an unclean demon. God doesn't think the way we do. If there's anything that we want the Sunday school teachers to get across to the children, is the fact that Jesus, he is bringing us freedom, but he's doing it on his timetable. There's nothing that can happen to the child that Jesus is unaware of and taking care of that child. Yes, you may get ill, but your parents, doctors, medicine will help you through that. And so there's no promise that everything's going to work out to your good, but there is a promise that God says everything will work out to your good because he is the Messiah, not just of the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And it might be an idea for the Sunday school teacher to ask how many of you are Gentiles to help them understand the distinction between Jew and Gentile, and then go to the Galatians passage where Jesus says there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and free. And that would be a great lesson and a good news to leave with the Sunday school children.
Although the people appear to have Jesus completely outnumbered here, why are they unable to kill him by stoning, as seems to be their intent. Why is he, I'm not asking how he got away because it doesn't tell us, but why are they unable to kill him yet?
They're unable to kill him because God has a timetable that was set up in the Old Testament. At least God revealed it. For example, Psalm 22 says that he will be pierced in hands and feet. Well, they weren't getting ready to pierce him. They were ready to stone him. Isaiah 53, by his stripes, that's the stripes of a whip, we are healed. Well, they weren't going to use a whip against him. So when God makes a promise as to how something is going to happen, he will step in and make sure it happens. One of the best examples is the shock on the part of the apostles when they're on this boat almost ready to sink and Jesus is asleep. Why is he asleep? Because he knows he can't die there. It's not in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And that's why he looks at the disciples. He says, have you no faith? Have you no belief in the promises of the Old Testament? And then he stills the storm, and they are just looking, wondering, who is this person? Well, the Sunday school children know who he is, and they have the Holy Spirit to help teach them further about our wonderful Savior.
So then, with about a minute here, Tom, the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children from Luke chapter 4 and Jesus' rejection at Nazareth.
Yes, the simple law is that we want Jesus to be the kind of Jesus we want. And if he's not going to be healing when we want him to be healing, if he's not going to do his great miracles, then we're not that interested in him. The gospel is that whatever Jesus is doing in your life is for your good. And there's a year of jubilee that probably began with many of the children at their baptism, where they received not only the forgiveness of sins, so heaven is their home, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we have the email piling up, so to speak. Our listeners have questions, they have comments, they also want to talk about, I think they want to talk about the newly updated website. Lots of questions about that and other things. It's your opportunity to hear our responses to your listener email, the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or if you've left anything on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Jesus spent his entire life being rejected. This is just the beginning of it. It will be by his rejection by men that God will affect our acceptance for Christ's sake. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.